Champions League and Europa League in August, Timo Werner to Chelsea FC, Coppa Italia win for Napoli and Mertens all-time top scorer, highlights from the Premier League and more. I am Matthijs and with me is Rory. Welcome to episode 3 of the Dutch and Scott Sportscast.
Thanks for tuning in to our third episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed our second podcast. We aim to release one every Monday, recapping the weekend and looking forward to the next weekend. Thank you for tuning in to episode 3 and we hope you enjoy it. So the first segment today will be Corona news again, Matthijs. And we're looking at the football news around the world related to Corona and just general how it's affecting things and what's happening at the minute. The first notable bit of football news from last week has been Timo Werner moving to Chelsea. What's your thoughts on that, Matthijs?
Yeah, it's a very interesting transfer and we've talked about it a few times already. In our previous podcast, how Timo Werner was supposedly moving to Chelsea. Which wasn't confirmed yet, but in my opinion, it's a massive deal for Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you watch a lot of German football. I've seen a little bit of them in Champions League, etc. And obviously, I know about his scoring record. But what sort of player is he?
He's just deadly. Given an opportunity, one on one, and most likely he'll finish. He's fast. He's agile, and he is also good with his head. He just has the all-around advanced forward package, and giving him the opportunity to play in a league like the Premier League could be the next step that brings him into the next phase of his career.
And of course, with that, he can play both striker and on the left wing. Who knows where Frank Lampard wants to play him? However, assuming that he'll play striker, when you look at Chelsea, they've not had an out-and-out good striker since Drogba. Obviously Abraham was showing signs of it, but since Drogba, how do you compare to Drogba, do you think, as in playing style?
They're both surprisingly similar, I'd say. As you mentioned, Abraham has been showing signs of his quality, but he's not there yet. And I think with Werner, they've got a world-class striker like they had with Drogba. And like both very, very fast player, very quick, very smart on the ball as well. They can make moves out of nothing and they can score out of nowhere. And it's just a very exciting prospect to see him in the Premier League next year.
It'll be interesting to see whether they play him on the left or up top, or whether they play two up top.
Yeah, I was supposed to play him on the up top because I think that's where you'd get the most out of him. Yeah. But in general, I think he'd do great on either side. And thinking that the Hakim Ziyech signing as well, who could also play either on the right or on the left or through the middle, but then behind Werner, it could be a deadly partnership.
Well, on top of that, with Chelsea, there's a few more rumours with them. They're linked to both Ben Chilwell and Kai Havertz. What's he like?
Yeah, I mean, signing Kai Havertz, who's tipped as one of the brightest prospects in the Bundesliga at the moment, the brightest prospects for German football as well. He's playing at Bayer Leverkusen currently, and Bayer Leverkusen are right now with one game to go fighting for the Champions League. And Kai Havertz is just by far their best player, and he's already made his debut for the German national team, and he's just a very, very promising young player.
Chelsea could be dangerous next season if they pull him off as well.
If they were to sign him as well, Chelsea could be a very, very dangerous and very exciting team.
Yep, I agree with that one. The next bit of news we've got is, of course, Napoli, historically again, winning the Coppa Italia.
Yeah, they have beaten Juventus in the Coppa Italia final. And for Juventus, it would have been their, I believe, sixth final and their fifth win were they to have won this one. If I'm correct. But Napoli managed to beat them in Rome. And I don't know if you've seen the scenes in Napoli after the game, but big crowds.
I recently watched the Maradona documentary, you know, the Maradona film. It was on TV and I gave that a watch. So the significance of Napoli winning it is kind of worn off from that. And the scenes were, as you would expect, incredible.
Yeah, the Napoli faithful are are a very, very incredible and interesting supporters group. Very passionate, and you could have seen it like in the stadium, but now also in the airport. And whenever, I don't know if you've seen these videos, but whenever a player arrives in Napoli or sometimes in Italy as well, you see masses of people flocking to the airports to welcome them.
How did the scenes that you've seen in Naples compare to your experience in Thessaloniki with PAOK last season?
Well, when PAOK won the league last year, it was just like the entire city went mad. And you can just see the flares, there were flags flying around, people on scooters going crazy, people going very drunk as well. But it was a very interesting experience, and you can see it in a lot of these Mediterranean countries. The people there are very, well, passionate, and especially in the south of Italy. And Naples and Thessaloniki are, in a way, similar because they're very working class industrial cities, and
The underdogs, that's what they are.
yeah, for sure. And the Napoli, they know it, the Napoli fans, they know it. They embrace this culture and they embrace this mentality and this reputation that everyone has about them.
I mentioned Maradona earlier, and he's significant again as Dries Mertens has overtaken him as Napoli's all-time top goal scorer.
Yeah, and it's quite a crazy achievement by our little Dries.
Yeah, ex-PSV.
Yeah, when he played at PSV, he was one of our best players. But during this time, PSV didn't really manage to win anything significant except for one Dutch Cup. But the reputation of the cup in the Netherlands is not as important as it is in like Scotland and England, where the National Cup is a very, very major trophy. So that's the only thing he won during his time at PSV. I could have never imagined that when he went to Napoli that he would become such a mainstay and such a integral player for the team. And it's very, I mean, very interesting that he managed to get this record of Maradona.
See, he doesn't look like your sort of ideal striker, does he? I mean, he's quite small, he's nippy, you'd think of him more as a cam winger. But much like Maradona as well, it must be something with small strikers in Napoli.
Yeah, I guess because I mean, he proved to be a very good player for them. And like I said before, when he played at PSV, he was playing on the wing. He scored some good goals, but he was never like going to be the player on the levels like the big boys. But apparently, he's gone and bagged himself a very, very impressive record.
Would you classify Mertens as one of the most underrated of our time?
He could be in that list. No one really says, no one really can say that he's not a good footballer. But when you think about the big players in Serie A, and yeah, you think of the players at Juventus, at Inter, not necessarily of the players at Napoli, and especially Dries Mertens.
Yeah, I mean the thing with him is that he seems to be kind of outshone, not from his own kind of lack of ability, but purely maybe personality, maybe just the fact he plays for Napoli, and they're obviously they are the underdogs in Italy. But it's the same in the Belgium team as well. The amount of class in that team, it just kind of gets kind of thing that shone over. Maybe if he was Dutch, maybe
Yeah,
he.
we have the
He would
stereotype.
stand out more.
Yeah, we have the stereotype in the Netherlands and Belgium that the Dutch are more arrogant and more out there, and that the Belgians are more reserved and a bit more conservative. And maybe that's what, yeah, maybe that's the case here.
Maybe it is a personality thing, but just the achievements he's got, it's hard to think about how little he's sort of recognised in that. Because even for Belgium, he doesn't play an integral part. When you think of the Belgian team, you think of Hazard, Lukaku, you think of
De Bruyne.
Nangolan until he got dropped, De Bruyne, of course. You know, don't really think of Mertens, but his achievements
And then,
at the
like you
club have been
said,
incredible.
especially like the Belgian team right now is such a good team.
It's just strange how much he's achieved and how little kind of credit
Because you can say
he
like, he's
gets.
like the silent workhorse in all of these teams. The kind of the guy that doesn't really need the attention but creates the good
The
atmosphere.
James Milner.
I mean, I could see that comparison.
Next point of call here. We've got the National League North and South ended with promotion relegation turmoil.
Yeah, and that also includes the National League proper, the former conference. And they finally decided to, you know, because it was already like in the cards, like it was going to happen, the promotion relegation, but it wasn't officially decided yet. So what you saw was that the clubs were kind of in this purgatory between yes and no, and no one really knew what was going to happen. And especially for National League champions Barrow, who were going to get promoted after I believe over 40 years to League Two. It's a very, very uncertain period.
Before we move on to the next one, something similar, slightly similar to that, we heard the latest updates. I know it seems to be more updates every week on the Scottish promotion relegation turmoil.
Yeah, I've seen something come out again, and it's nothing is making it easier or more accessible.
I mean, of course, there was a vote we discussed last week about the reconstruction, which got voted down. Hearts have then said they were going to take legal action, which was followed by Patrick Thistle, who got funding from an unknown source to take legal action.
Uh-huh.
So the two of them threatened legal action. However, it's not gone down well, because basically they want a massive chunk of compensation. I believe Hearts want $8 million and Thistle want $2 million if they are relegated.
All right.
Which is a lot of money. $2 million, by the way, is more than the champions of the SPFL get, I believe.
Oh, really?
So, a lot of money for relegation from the Championship. And if what I've read is to believe, it's to come from the pocket of the other member clubs in the SPFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's money. So, which isn't very fair, considering a lot of them did vote for the resolution. But hey-ho. Another proposition would mean that Dundee United, Raith Rovers and Cove would not be promoted.
All right. That sounds weird.
Yep. Which all three have then come out and said, well, if that happens, we'll take legal action. So.
Yeah, and I can imagine. It's just like everyone is everyone is against each other and no one's really trying to look out for the other. That's what it seems like from an outsider's perspective.
I mean, obviously I can see the frustration. I've said this every podcast. I can see the frustration from Hearts and Thistle, etc.
Oh, no, man, me too, of course.
Hearts are becoming a bit more annoying than my eyes, and Thistle aren't really doing much. They're just kind of, you know, trying to protect themselves. Hearts are just being, you may have seen yesterday, Hearts made a new appointment and as a new manager.
I've seen it come by, yeah.
Do you know who it was they appointed?
I mean, I've seen the name, but I don't know who it is or like his former credentials.
Robbie Nielsen, who was up until yesterday the Dundee United manager.
Ah, okay. Ooh.
So Hearts approached him. He was the ex Hearts manager, got booed out by the Hearts fans, got sacked. Dundee United manager took them up over 2 seasons, which is good of him.
Mm-hmm.
However, Hearts approached him yesterday. Initially, Dundee United said no, so they agreed compensation to have him, and now Nielsen's moved to Hearts. Very controversially. So that's a bit of a stab in the back. So within 1 week, Hearts have released a legal statement which would prevent Dundee United from getting promoted and Mick the manager. So
it's all very interesting developments over there in Scotland then, I suppose.
Yeah, it's got a bit mental over here. So next week I'll have probably more updates for you. Who knows what state we'll be in.
Well, I mean, we'll keep talking about it since there is no football, so.
Well, yeah. So the next point of call was the greatest champions.
Yeah, we've talked about them before, the Bulgarian Super Club. Ludogorets have won the league once again, unsurprisingly. And I think it's the second league in Europe that's been decided. So, okay. I believe. But it's their 9th straight league title.
So they're similar to up here in Scotland then with Celtic.
Yeah, although the whole history is a bit different. But that could be a very interesting topic for another time.
yeah. That's good and bad for Ludogorets. It's good for Ludogorets. It's bad for
everyone else.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much.
So next we've got an outstanding result last week we had an 8-1, didn't we?
A 10-1.
That last week it was an 8-1, wasn't
Oh,
it?
yeah, in Albania. Yeah. Oh, true,
Yeah,
sorry.
this week it's a 10-1 between Sochi and Rostov.
Yeah, I kind of spoiled it there, but yes.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine, it's fine. I won't set it up next time.
Sorry.
No.
But yeah, a 10-1 between Sochi and Rostov. So the Russian Premier League is also back. And I know, like me, everyone was super excited for this return, of course.
Oh, of course.
No, but like with all seriousness, it's interesting. It's an interesting development since Rostov have had a few players who have had to go into quarantine because they contracted the coronavirus, which sucks, of course. That's a terrible thing to happen. The thing that's happened now after is that the entire Rostov squad had to go into quarantine, which meant
Oh.
that they weren't able to go out, which meant that they weren't able to go and play a football game.
Well, of course.
They sent out a request to Sochi, which was the team they were supposed to play. Hello guys, we have a problem. We don't have players, pretty much. Do you want to postpone the match? Sochi is in not a very good state in the league and are trying to survive to, not get relegated. So Sochi, in their like, fair enough to them. They were like, no, we want to play this match. So what happened was that Rostov had to go to Sochi, which is I don't know if you remember Sochi, which was somewhere in the south, like during the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, went to Olympics and they held a game in the World Cup, didn't they? The stadium there.
So they had to go down. Rostov took their under 17 squad and they lost 10-1. Surprisingly, which I found even more interesting, was that Rostov were the first ones to score.
We were talking last week about the 10-2 game with Morton as well.
But I mean, we've gotten into this like big result thing right now, but it's like Sochi is also like a very interesting team because they kind of were created after, the Winter Olympics because there was this massive stadium, but no one to play in it, and so they were like, let's just move a team from somewhere and rename it, rebrand it, and like put them in the town of Sochi, and well, now you have a football team. I mean, investments, 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 and they find themselves in the Russian Premier League a few years
Fair
later.
enough to them. Fair enough to them. They're bit of a Lido Gretz, Red Bull Leipzig, I guess, or not the same.
In a way, yeah, it's funded with a lot of money. It's kind of a similar story indeed, like the rise through the leagues. It's not organically, let's say that.
Okay, that's fair enough. So, the final part of the Corona news segment was a recap over the Premier League results. First week back of the Premier League. Did you catch many games?
Yeah, we've been trying to keep up with the games of the Premier League. I haven't watched much, but I have seen highlights. Well, if you can call that watching. And of course, I've been like checking Twitter continuously. The first thing that I'd like to mention is that the two games on the first day, if every technology would have been set up well, I would have predicted both games right, probably. But no, like coming back to the technology thing, Sheffield United.
Yeah, it was very unlucky for them. I mean, they've had a bit of a stink of a weekend, and I mean, obviously we'll get on to their second game of the weekend, but their first game, nil nil against Villa, stalemate. However, controversial goal. It went in, 100%, was it? Am I right in saying that it was the Dutch goalie Ruta that was in goal?
No. He said that PSV now being a third goalkeeper.
Who was it in goal for Villa then?
I'm not quite sure, but he was lucky.
Ireland. I was in Ireland.
The Norwegian, yeah.
Yeah, he looked a bit like Ruta from the angle I seen. There you go. I thought he was at PSV. I was very confused when I thought I seen him. But yeah,
No, he's
no, no.
big, yeah.
We both predicted Sheffield to win that one.
Yeah, we both like we kind of came to agree on a boring 1-0 to Sheffield.
It's not the first time I've seen technology in a Sheffield game. I mentioned last week I was at a Sheffield game earlier this season against West Ham. The game ended 1-0 to Sheffield. However, there was a last-minute equaliser from West Ham that was chopped off for a handball. It wasn't really a handball, but we move. It was quite sad being on the West Ham end of that one. But
True.
anyway, the next game of the weekend, I got horribly wrong. I
City
thought Arsenal
Arsenal.
would come out. Yeah, I thought Arsenal would come out this weekend. Two games to play to try and get into the top four. I thought they'd come out all guns blazing, really fire for it. Could I be more wrong?
Yeah, but you said Sheffield had a bad weekend. Arsenal might have even had a I
Arsenal, I
mean
mean, if the league were to restart from that for this Corona, these last six games, Arsenal would be going down.
Yeah, it's terrible form, and like I said, I predicted the City Arsenal result 3-0 to City, but Brighton Arsenal finishing 2-1 to Brighton, no, I didn't see that one coming.
No. I mean, they've been awful. I mean, technically, six games to go. Arsenal could still go down. They're
Yeah,
12th
it's
and
very
Brighton
tight.
go
It's very
away.
tight.
Yeah, there's 13 points between them in the relegation zone,
Yeah.
with only 18 on the table. So they
But
need to get their acts together. But not promising. David Luiz had an absolute stinker.
oh yeah.
So
I mean, he's probably had one of
not
the
looking
worst
good.
games of his career, and he's had many bad games.
Yeah. On to Friday, we had Norwich Southampton.
3-0
Resounding
Southampton, yeah.
Southampton won. Yep, Danny Ings, Stuart Armstrong, and Nathan Redmond
I
with the
think
goals.
the most interesting thing about the entire game was I don't know if you read it, that one Southampton fan who rented a room in that hotel, like in the corner.
Yeah, it was
Was interesting.
was it Barcelona this weekend where there was a pitch invader?
Yeah, that one as well. Was it away somewhere? But there was a
It
pitch
was
invader.
Spain, wasn't it? It was a 0-0 draw.
It's, I mean, you kind of go like, what's happened to, to someone's rationality at that point?
Yeah, I know. Crazy. The other game Friday night was Tottenham Man U. I managed to catch this game. It was a 1-1 draw. However, as we predicted, actually predicted 1-1, didn't we? We got the goal scorers wrong. You got yours right. I wanted McTominay just for the Scottish connection there, but unsurprising, it was Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been very cool if he did, but Steven
Yeah.
Bergwijn, a very good goal, and then a Bruno Fernandes penalty. But Bruno Fernandes is such an incredible footballer, and
Spurs got very lucky. I don't know if you've seen it, but right at the very end of the game, there was a tough penalty call. I would have given it personally.
yeah, me
But it
too.
wasn't given in the end, but it was very, very close to being an unfortunate loss for Tottenham. Man U came out as a different team in that second half. First half they were awful.
Yeah, true.
Looking on to Saturday, where we've got four games here. We've got Watford Leicester, an interesting one.
Yeah, one all, two very late goals.
In 3 minutes, the last 3 minutes of the game, in extra time, we got a goal from Ben Chilwell in the 90th, and then
Which was a
Dawson.
cracker.
It was an absolute screamer. It was. It would have been perfect if in 90 plus 4 Deeney scored a volley.
Yeah, I would have loved
I would have
it.
loved it. It would have been victim things like, it would have been like, remember September World Cup, Paul the Octopus?
Yeah.
It would have been us. If
I
we
mean,
pull that one out.
it's like, honestly, we've done quite well here, if I just have to say so myself.
I mean, I just think it was Arsenal, but aside from that,
Yeah.
Brighton Arsenal
Yeah, we
was
mentioned
next.
it, 2-1, yeah.
Yeah, last minute winner for Brighton. Unfortunate injury for Brent Leno.
And he was very upset with Neil Maupay.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, because it was a weird move from the striker.
That was very strange.
Yeah, and after the game, Arsenal showed more fighting spirit than during the entire game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting result. Arsenal have really got some work to do.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, 13 points between them and the relegation zone, 18 on the table. It would be incredible if it were to happen. But, I mean, while there's a possibility for them to go there, they can't afford to be losing games to likes of Brighton and getting red cards and getting gubbed against the top six teams.
Yeah, true.
Next one was a 2-0 win to Wolves against West Ham.
Yeah, I mean a fairly I mean
Routine
surprising game.
unsurprising is probably the two words that come to mind.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was hoping for a West Ham upset, but
So,
it was always going to like be a Wolves victory in this case.
and you'll be happy with the next one. We had a Crystal Palace 2-0 win against Bournemouth.
Yeah, I was happy with that result. Like I've mentioned before, I'd say Crystal Palace is probably like the team I like the best in the Premier League. And I mean, Bournemouth have like this kind of, romanticized soft spot with many football fans. But yeah, that was an unsurprising result, and I think Bournemouth will have a lot of problems trying to stay up.
I agree with that one. The next one I'm going to mention, I for me actually is probably the most surprising result of the weekend, even more surprising than the Arsenal Brighton one. 3-0 to Newcastle against Sheffield United.
Yeah, it was quite, I mean, call it a hammering maybe, but a surprising result, a red card, Sheffield as well, which didn't make it easier for them.
I mean, this is a Steve Bruce Newcastle side. Who
Yeah.
would have thought it? Is that Joe Linton's? How many goals he got this season? Is that his first goal? Or
He hasn't scored many. That's
not
what I
at
know.
all, not at all.
Two.
Has he got two goals this season?
Uh-huh.
The next one was a good game to watch. It's Chelsea Aston Villa.
Chelsea
Chelsea got a lot more
Aston,
of
yeah. Yeah, I was
Follow up.
surprised to see that it got so tight in the end, the scoreline.
Yeah, I mean, Villa took the lead. House, the centre back, got the goal, and then within about 2 minutes of each other, Chelsea went to one up with Pulisic and Giroud scoring. Azpilicueta assisting both. One thing that surprised me within the Chelsea side, I'm still not sure as to why. There might have been an injury or a niggle or something like that, but Abraham didn't start.
Yeah, Giroud.
Yeah, Giroud started, nor did Pulisic. Pulisic didn't start either. They chose to say, start off just cheeking Willian on the
Yeah.
wings instead. But yeah, threw me a little bit, him not being on the pitch. But Billy Gilmore was on the bench, so it made me a bit happier, although he didn't actually get on. But anyway, then we've got the most underwhelming game I've ever been subjected to
Probably
ever
the
to
most
Liverpool.
anticipated game of the entire weekend. And the most boring one out of them all.
It was absolutely awful. We were to start with a 0-0.
Yeah.
Rubbish game.
I don't have much to say about it at all. It was just dull. And the only the thing at the start of the game with Mane, I don't know if you've seen that video.
He sprinted off,
Everyone kneeling, Mane just sprinting off and kind of realizing, okay, I missed something.
That was funny, but I mean, few strange decisions in the lineup from Klopp. I don't know if he's just trying to see out the draws to try and see out the season. But starting Minamino,
Yeah.
controversial when they want to win the league instead of Salah. He's debatably one of the best, debatably the best player.
Yeah, I didn't get it either, but I mean, like, and still the team that they had, the team that they fielded, that should still comfortably be able to beat Everton in this, like, stage. But
Again,
it's still a
Everton
derby,
though, Everton aren't that bad a side. They do still have Ancelotti, as I said last week at the helm. They've got some good players on the pitch for them.
Yeah,
I
true.
noticed Andre Gomes was playing after his awful leg break, which was good.
Yeah.
It's good seeing him playing after that. I don't think he'd come back from that one. But just a few, I mean, starting Naby Keita as well over Wijnaldum.
Yeah. I mean,
Milner over Robertson.
yeah. Like it's been a few surprising choices by Klopp, which I think are very hard to explain.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when you'd think, sorry?
They just threw me a little bit when I seen the lineup. I thought, I mean, if Arsenal had got a result against Man City, so surely they just want to keep winning rather than
I mean,
now Man City have the game today against Burnley. If they win that one, 5 points closer to them.
I mean, you'd think they want to get it wrapped up with as soon as possible.
Exactly. I mean, well, I don't, obviously, I don't think that Man City will be able to catch them there. If Man City win today, there's still 20 points between them.
True.
So,
I mean,
I don't see it happening. But
whatever happens, Liverpool are going to win the league.
is it 6 games to go or is it eight?
I
Six to
believe,
go, isn't it? 36 games in a season for them, yeah.
Not 38.
38, is it?
Yeah, I mean it's 20
Okay.
teams, so 19, 19.
Man City, 20 points, yeah. It's possible. It'd be close, but it's possible.
Yeah.
That puts Arsenal in more of a bad position, actually. I thought it was 6 to go. I don't know why I thought it was 6.
Imagine.
I know, yeah. I mean, Arsenal are in quite bad shape then if there's 8. That puts, what, a good 24 points on the table.
True.
And they're only 30 safety.
True. It's
Really good.
going to be very interesting. I mean, it's probably most likely not going to happen, but the possibility is there.
I mean, they're playing bad enough.
Yeah.
And they're going to sack Arteta with 2 games to go or anything like that. So, I don't really necessarily think it's all his fault either.
I mean, it cannot be, but oh well, we'll see what's going to happen in the next few games, I guess. Yesterday, the UEFA announced news that the Champions League and also the Europa League were going to return in a sort of tournament kind of format, with four teams already being qualified and some more teams still needing to qualify for this tournament thingy. How this is all going to work, we're going to roughly try to explain in this next segment about the restart of this Champions League and the Europa League.
So we already have four teams that have qualified for the final eight. They are Atalanta, Red Bull Leipzig, PSG, and Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, and I don't know if you remember some of those games, but I really had to dig deep to, get the pre-Corona games back from memory. I do remember the Atalanta Valencia game very well, in which Atalanta qualified, and of
Yeah.
course,
It was quite resounding, wasn't it?
yeah, it was Atalanta beat them. I think I'm not sure about the result anymore, but it was very resounding, true. And then Atletico Madrid in Liverpool.
Yeah, of course. Big one for them there. All the other games have still, all other teams have still to be decided. They're being played on the 7th and 8th of August. And we have firstly Barcelona Napoli, which is a 1-1 at the current minute.
Yeah, and as we quickly stopped over the games, they're going to be played this kind of tournament format thingy
Sorry.
in Portugal, in Lisbon, in two stadiums, one of which is the Benfica Stadium, the other one I'm guessing is the National Stadium.
Yeah.
But yeah,
And on
interesting.
top of that, they're only going to do one leg knockouts from here on, aren't they?
Yeah, that's only going to be one game. Like I said, which is going to kind of feel like this European Cup, pretty much the Euros, which we are sadly missing now, are back. Hey,
Hey, yeah, they are.
well, they're not, but it's the Champions League. But yeah.
Yes, I mean, I think the one leg thing will be making it very interesting, kind of make it more dramatic and stuff. But
Yeah, for sure.
yeah, we've got a few good games lined up here. As I said, Barcelona and Napoli. Of course, Napoli just won the Coppa Italia and looked quite good doing it. Barcelona, obviously competing for the title at the minute. They have just dropped some points, however, in their respective league. What's your thoughts?
Napoli, Barcelona before finished in 1-1. This time it would be Barcelona at home. And as mentioned before, it's not certain if this game is going to be played in Portugal yet or in Barcelona Stadium. See, the whole home advantage thing is kind of gone, as we mentioned before. But still, I could not see Barcelona losing out to Napoli in this next round. Even though, as we've mentioned before, as we've discussed before, Napoli is a very, very interesting side, and especially with Dries Mertens on form, who knows?
Exactly, I know. Who knows what that one will be. It'll be good. I mean, we'll need to wait and see what happens with Messi. He's out of the beer, so we might see old Messi again.
Yeah. He needs to refine some of his form.
It also depends on signings. They've both been linked to some. Well, maybe I don't know. I'm not 100% sure when that play with Barcelona. I've been linked to some pretty big players. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Barcelona win because they're signing. Who's a striker that they're linked to at the minute?
Yeah, true.
They're linked to quite a big striker at the minute.
Although on the other hand, I'm not quite sure if new signings are already allowed to play because this round, because like the registration phase for this round has passed in February or something.
Was there
So
something though regarding Werner going to Chelsea? He would have still been able to play for Leipzig, but he's waived it.
yeah, I'm not quite sure because like this also takes place in August, which is like after the whole, season restart in July. So I
Yeah.
think this is also something that the UEFA are still discussing about, and but I wouldn't be surprised if signings are allowed to play, though.
The next game we've got is Bayern Chelsea. 3-0 currently to Bayern on aggregate.
Yeah, and last week we discussed Bayern briefly, and how they might end up winning this year's Champions League.
They look very good.
They look extremely good, and the young talents coming through. It's a very, very energetic, interesting, and exciting sight to watch. They beat Chelsea 3-0 away at Stamford Bridge before Corona, and yeah.
Again, though, this might also be affected by transfer. Supposing they do change the registration due to the situation,
Yeah, true.
and Chelsea do have Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, Hakim Ziyech. Who knows? They could maybe pull it back. It'd be difficult, but I mean, it's not impossible. We've seen it at Barcelona, PSG. We've seen it at Roma, Barcelona. We've
True.
seen it so many times.
Yeah.
Comebacks happen at this, and Chelsea obviously, if they improve in the areas they're talking about improving, and they are able to play the players they want to play, then who knows?
Yeah, it could be interesting, but I mean, 3-0 is a
Tough
tough
one.
tough one to like better, but
Yeah.
yeah, I think Bayern will do it, but I think Chelsea will definitely give them a good game.
Yeah, I agree with that one. The next one was a bit of a shock upset. Of a result, Juventus Lyon go to Juventus with a 1-0 aggregate lead.
Yeah, they beat them in their home stadium in February last this year. I'm saying
Yeah.
last year because it feels like it's such a long time ago.
I know, it's weird.
But no, it was a very interesting result and a very like surprising result. Juventus are currently also playing the league again. The thing with Lyon is that the French league has been completely suspended, and by the time August runs rolls around, the French league might not have even started yet. So this could be like a thing that Juventus have been playing for a longer time, and they're starting the league up now again, and it's already late June. So it could be just a case of familiarity, a case of fitness, and I would be very surprised if Lyon actually managed to go to the next round.
I would agree with that one. I would agree with that. Moving on to the final game left is the Man City Real Madrid. Man City go with a 2-1 aggregate lead.
Yeah, which is, in my opinion, one of the most surprising results out there because Man City have notoriously performed bad in the Champions League, and then they went out and beat Real Madrid away from home. Yeah, interesting.
I mean, an argument for that one may be because they are banned next year in the Champions League.
Ah, yeah, that's also true. Kind of like
Yeah, Man
brushed over
City
that at
is.
all. Yeah.
Is it a 2-year embargo they've got from the Champions League?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
So I think they're going to pull off all the stops to try and. And again, it may depend on signings because
Also
Man
true.
City have already. Sané's already said he's not going to sign a new deal. He's off to Bayern, in fact. According to reports, outside of that, there probably will be a few players that will follow suit. 2 years is quite a long time for a footballer's career to not play in the Champions League. So we'll see.
Yeah, also honestly, this is one of those games where I have to admit that I don't remember it at all. I don't know if you
It
do,
was
but
just after, it was just after they'd been announced that they weren't going to take part in the next two Champions Leagues because of finance issues. And so there was a lot of talk of Man City. It's never, never really. They have to win it now.
All
So
right, yeah.
it all out and they won 2-1. So,
I mean,
yeah.
if there was ever a time for Man City to do it, kind
Of
of
course.
disregarding the league right now. Even though the league will probably already be finished by that point. But still, if there
They've
was
talked
ever
about starting the next one.
if there was ever a
Of
time for Man
course.
City, yeah.
So the final of the Champions League is due to be played on the 23rd of August. And I want to ask you, Matthijs, prediction right now, who's going to win
Bayern.
I was going to say Bayern, but I'm going to try and keep it interesting, and I'm going to say Man City.
Ooh. How about a Man City Bayern final, if that's even possible?
It would certainly be interesting, that's for
But
sure.
yeah, no, I we've been talking about Bayern quite
I do think,
extensively, yeah.
yeah, I do think Bayern will win it, but just to keep the stakes high between the two of us, I'll go Man City.
Yeah, I kind of ruined it there then, but no, but I genuinely think that Bayern are going to do it. The other ones that are still in it, I couldn't see Atalanta do it. I don't think, and I don't want Red Bull Leipzig to do it. PSG, same story as Red Bull. Atletico, I have a soft spot for them, but I'm not sure about them.
They always seem to bottle it, number one one.
Yeah, true. And then we, of course, you get Barcelona, who are always, I mean, a big one.
Always a threat, yeah, always a threat.
Yeah, same as Juventus, same as Real Madrid.
No, I just yeah. As you said, Man City need to pull off everything.
Yeah, for
They
me
do have
it's
a good
just like,
manager in charge,
yeah, for
but
me I'm just hoping that it could be someone else.
yeah, I mean, for all I criticised him last podcast about his lack of Champions League ability to win it outside of Barcelona, he has a good manager and he does have the capability to do so. So I think Man City's a reasonable shout. If they can get by Real Madrid, why not anyone else? But I do think Bayern are the strongest side at the minute. They're playing incredible football, they're winning matches, and that's what they really need to be doing. So.
Yeah, but also another thing that could be interesting is the fact that Bayern are finishing their league next week. So about around that time, I think the Premier League, it's going to take another 4 or 5 weeks, probably.
Well, there's 8 games to go,
Yeah,
so there's
it's
18
kind of
games.
cramped together still, so it's going to be a bit faster than it would usually be. But yeah, fitness and familiarity and everything that comes to, you know, being together.
That also may mean that the Bundesliga will start back in normal August.
Probably, but this could kind of, I mean, the thing is that this is mid-August when it starts. So this would hinder Bayern from starting the Bundesliga. They would have to play friendlies before that, but then again, I'm not sure how that will look like and who they can play in these friendlies. Can they play equal opposition or will it be like worse teams?
I mean, yeah. It's gonna. There's a lot of questions that still need answered.
Yeah, and like the last thing hasn't been said about the Champions League restart yet because they're still discussing it and how it's going to work best. And like we said, those other games, the games that are still yet to be decided, they don't know where they're going to be played yet and how that's going to look like. So we'll just have to wait and see for that.
All up in arms. And finally, on this topic, we've got the Europa League games, which will take part in Germany.
Yeah, so kind of like the same format.
That should start back the 10th of August with the final of 21st in Cologne. If you were to pick one of the games that's coming up, what one are you most excited to watch?
Not quite sure actually. What about you?
I mean, purely self-interest, I think it'd be nice. The Rangers Bayer Leverkusen game.
Yeah, fair enough. I think there's, I mean, very interesting games to be played yet. And I mean, you have the Bayer Leverkusen Rangers game, and then also Sevilla Roma, which I think is an interesting one. And then Inter Getafe. Getafe have proved to be a very, very difficult opponent to play when they played Ajax. I remember the entire nation, mainly Ajax supporters though, were mad at them for being time wasters and doing everything to win. But they go deep. And then you have like a few dark horses like Eintracht Frankfurt, who are still in it. Wolfsburg, Wolves, who are still in it.
Wolves, of course,
And
yes.
then also a team that we mentioned in our first episode, Istanbul Başakşehir.
Yeah, I'm not gonna try and pronounce that one. Not saying the word of that one, but
I've practiced.
they're a team of ex-Premier League players, Istanbul, and it'll be interesting to see how far they go with the in terms of the Rangers Bayer Leverkusen thing. I don't think Rangers could go away. There's too much quality left, but it would be nice to see them beat a team like Leverkusen. And Scotland, Scottish football's been a bit of a joke. So it'd be nice to see a team actually kind of progress
Yeah, do you
a bit
think
further.
they can do it?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it would be, but I mean, again, it's for whatever reason, Gerrard seems to be able to get Rangers to play well in Europe. They beat Braga in the last round. Braga, who were very good in Portugal at the time, doing very well.
True.
And Scotland, in Scotland, Rangers were playing rubbish, and yet they still managed to pull off a performance. So you never really know. If they show up and the players are on form, and he has Morelos playing to his full capacity, etc., I could see them giving them a good game, good run for their money.
It is quite interesting though, because no Dutch teams left though as well, because like I said, Getafe knocked out Ajax.
PSV do.
Not very well. We started off very bright with a win at home to Sporting and a win away at Rosenborg in Norway, and then everything kind of collapsed in the league and in Europe. We had LASK, the team United are playing, and they spanked us in Austria. I think it was like 4-1.
Oh God.
It was a very, very bad game, but they're a very decent side. But like normally you would expect to win it. And then I think it was nil nil at home against them, which PSV should have won. And then PSV got spanked by Sporting away, and Bruno Fernandes scored. That's what I remember. An amazing goal when he was still there. And then Rosenborg came to Eindhoven, and Rosenborg and PSV were both already knocked out. And I just went to an Irish pub before the game, and I had a few drinks with a Norwegian guy, and we just talked about how shit we are.
Fair enough.
It was a good time.
Yeah, sounds interesting anyway.
Game finished 1-1, but we didn't really pay attention to it that much.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that one.
Yeah, but it was a disappointing Europa League campaign.
Maybe next year if it
Well,
goes down.
they're still going to be qualifiers, so PSV need to play a qualifier. Like something strange is going to happen with the qualifiers as well. They're going to be played somewhere after the tournament is finished, and how these are going to look like, no one knows as well. So it's something for the future.
Yeah, definitely.
But for now, we just are gonna have to keep an eye on the developments of the Europa League and the Champions League, and see what the final resolution is going to be.
We'll keep an eye on proceedings and we'll update on the podcast.
True. And if there was a team that you would think is going to win the Europa League, who would you say?
I'd like it to be Wolves.
Would be very cool, yeah, honestly.
Yeah, and about the quality.
But if you'd look at the teams that are there, first names that come to mind for me are Inter, United, Sevilla,
Yeah, I mean,
probably.
I think it'll be Inter, probably the best team there, but
Yeah.
I would like for Wolves to do it. I think it'd be really cool.
I would agree. That would be very cool.
So the next segment is the club highlight segment, and again we're going to stick to the theme of obscure giants. Last week, my album was Queen's Park, and a slight update on that one. I did mention that they have some new rich owners, and obviously the same professional. They just signed Bob McHugh off of Greenock Morton, 2 tiers above them, which is a huge signing for them.
Oh.
But yeah, it was a huge signing. But on to this week's obscure sleeping giant. I've not went for a club. I've went for a whole country. Can
Oh.
you guess what country I might have went for?
A sleeping giant, a country.
Sleeping giant.
Could you have gone for Scotland? Would you call it a
Sleeping
sleeping
giant.
giant?
No.
Oh,
I
okay.
went for Hungary.
Ah, oh yeah, oh, okay. That's a very interesting one.
Yeah. I mean, Hungary currently find ourselves second in the world in terms of their placement. They haven't been in the World Cup in a while. They have appeared in 9 overall and 3 Euros in total. The best place in the Euros, they came 3rd in 1964, but it's the World Cups I want to talk about. They've been the runners up twice, once in 1938 and once in 1954. And if you're talking about World Cup sides or international sides who have not won a World Cup, the best team that comes to mind is probably the Dutch side of 1974, 1978. Yes?
I would agree, yeah.
However, closely behind them is the Hungarians in 1954. They got very unlucky to the West Germans. They lost 3-2 in Switzerland. And one big name that most people should recognise is Frederic Puskás, who played for them at that point. And yeah, they're a country that they've done a lot for the game. They've produced a lot of good players. You know, Puskás is one of the most influential of all time. There's an award named after him, for Christ's sake. And you know, they've done loads and loads, but they've just kind of faded off. A lot of that is probably to do with different political stuff going on around them, money being pummeled into Western European games, etc., etc. But there is hope. They have moved up a few positions in the world table, so they are starting to produce some more players. Eastern European football, as I mentioned last week and or maybe the week before, is starting to make a resurgence. Obviously, we've seen Croatia last World Cup.
True.
Romania are starting to produce very good teams. They came 3rd in the under-21s World Cup in 2018, I want to say, and or 2019. And so there's hope. Hungary again, they have some big teams domestically who are starting to produce.
Yeah, can you pronounce
And
the biggest team in Hungary?
I knew you would do this to me, you know. Right, let me get this right. Okay, I think I can pronounce the actual league. So am I right in saying the biggest team is Ferenc Varos?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'd
Try and
probably
pronounce it
say
right.
it. Yeah, I'd probably say it. Ferencváros.
Okay.
I
I know
think it's
they've
something
got
like that.
Puskás Academy FC,
Yeah, true.
but they're starting to produce players, more to the point. So the hope is they will find a resurgence. However, they have, you know, if you were to ask someone who was has a memory of the 50s in football, Hungary were the biggest team. West Germany have been involved in a lot of controversial finals, as you'll know, as a Dutchman.
Annoyingly, yes.
And this one is no different. The World Cup final 1954 was very controversial. People think Hungary should have won it. There was a lot going on regarding Cold Wars, you know, the fall of the Soviet Union, Western Germany, blah, blah, blah. So there was a lot of controversy around it. They should probably have won a World Cup.
Yeah.
Between West Germany and Argentina, they seem to stop all the best teams from winning World Cups. But yeah, that's my sleeping giant. Hopefully, we'll see a resurgence. It's hard to talk about the resurgence as it's not a club. You can't talk about, you know, finances and how they're finishing in the leagues at the minute. But they are moving up a bit more. They're starting to produce players again. And yeah. I mean, the hope is that they'll find their way back to our international tournament soon enough.
And let's go into mine. Mine is not a sleeping giant, but it's more like an obscure giant.
Okay.
For mine, we have to go to the country that you mentioned before, Croatia, and to the capital Zagreb. The club Dinamo Zagreb.
Yeah.
I mean, you've heard of them. Everyone has heard of them.
I have.
Full name being Gradanski Nogometni Klub Dinamo Zagreb. Which,
Actually had a debate with a friend about Dinamo Zagreb,
yeah.
a Croatian friend at uni who claimed that Zagreb are bigger than Celtic, and so we had a big debate about it. But anyway, everyone's sorry.
Yeah, no, I've butchered that name, but I've also my we both share this thing that we have a Croatian friend.
Yeah.
Mine supports Dinamo Zagreb, and I've kind of been reading into the club, and the way they were founded was quite interesting. After the Second World War, all the teams in Zagreb were disbanded because they kind of Croatia was not on the right side of history, let's say that. So a new club was founded, and this club was Dinamo Zagreb. They're mainly in the West known for corruption,
Okay.
not for the best reasons. But in Croatia, they're the most dominant force in football, winning the Croatian league 20 times. And then you have to put it in perspective that Croatia gained their independence somewhere in the 90s.
Yeah.
Early 90s, I'm not exactly sure when, but that's when Yugoslavia disbanded or dissolved, rather. They won the League of Yugoslavia four times, and the latest being 1982. So, like I said, they're probably most well known for being the most dominant force in Croatia. They're quite interestingly, trying to combat the whole corruption thing, and they're trying to get rid of this, this image of being a corrupt club. And they have this ultras group called the Bad Blue Boys.
Okay.
And for the longest time, they didn't visit the stadium because they were unhappy
Oh,
with, yeah, they were just like this entire stand. And they have quite a big stadium, 35,000 people can fit. And if you see it on TV, it's quite a bombastic, intimidating building.
okay.
And it was just this entire stand. It was just empty. And yeah, they're one of the oldest ultra groups in the world, probably. One of the older ones being the ones of Hajduk Split, a team that
Yeah.
people might have heard of. Yeah, but it's a very interesting team, and finally there's been some improvements when it comes to your corruption and the owner, and they've been trying, saying trying, to get to a new stadium, which has been stopped every time, and like it's hardly any movement. But they're the most dominant force in Croatia, and they've produced many great Croatian players that we know of now, like Modric.
Moderate, yeah.
Yeah, and there seems to be no stopping them. Like they get in the Champions League consistently, and they get so much more money than all the other teams that right now in the league they are 19 points ahead with six games to play. So it's likely that they're going to win the league. And a team that's second, Lokomotiva, is another team from Zagreb, and that team is kind of like Dinamo Zagreb's feeder team.
Okay.
And then the rest of the league is quite tight, with fifth place being Hajduk Split with 51 points, and Lokomotiva in second with 53. But we'll see Dinamo Zagreb in Europe next season again.
I mean, they're certainly the club I've heard of the most in from Croatia.
Yeah, it's like the most recognizable name in Croatian football.
Yeah. I
Simply
mean,
because
it's
they're.
a hard debate between me and my Croatian friend. It's hard for them to really make a debate about it because, as you say, they've not been around very long.
Yeah, I mean, the club has existed since 1945.
Yeah,
Um,
like
but.
compare that to 1888.
Yeah, and then also the fact that the Yugoslavian league, if you think about it now, was a very competitive league, and many of the great Balkan and East, like, well, Balkan, it's Balkan, Balkan teams that we know of now were in that league, like Red Star, Partizan, and then you have Hajduk in Croatia as well, Dinamo, and then you got another teams like in Slovenia with Maribor, and in Bosnia with Sarajevo, so. There's quite a few interesting teams. If you made it all the way here, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We are available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and SoundCloud. If you can, follow us, leave us a rating, and tell us what you think.
Furthermore, online you can find us on on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Our Twitter handle is at Scott Dutch. Please give us a like on our posts and a follow if you want. This will be the place where we'll first announce new podcasts and you'll get regular updates on the football news on our Twitter.
We hope you enjoyed our third episode. If you did, hopefully you return again with us next week.
Have a great week, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.